You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
Welcome back. A lot happening this hour. We'll check in with Nate Oates a little bit later on. Big game tomorrow against Tennessee, number one team in the country. But first, the big news of this day in the SEC, and that's the departure of the two-time national championship-winning offensive coordinator at the University of Georgia, Todd Monken, heading to the Ravens in the NFL, and Seth Emerson joining us right now to give us the latest. Seth, thanks for the time. Good afternoon. Appreciate you being here. Tell us what this means to Kirby Smart as he attempts to win a three-peat. How are you?
Well, thanks, Paul, for having me on. Hope you're doing well. It kind of gives us a fresh angle for 2023. Already knew that Georgia would be working in a new quarterback. How do you replace Stetson Bennett? And now, how do you replace Todd Monken? We do know who the new offensive coordinator will be, and that's Mike Bobo. I kind of thought that was what was going to happen all along. And, you know, it's good, Paul. I was a little worried that the discourse around here would be a little too, you know, just stable after winning two rings. Stetson Bennett discourse happened for 3 years, and he settled that at the end. Pretty much nobody holding out on whether he's a very good quarterback. And now we've got a Mike Bobo discourse to go back to and act like it's 2012 and 2013 all over again. And he kind of settled the issue Bobo did back in 2014. And he guided the all-time highest scoring offense in Georgia history. But since then, especially with the way things went at South Carolina and then Auburn when he was back in the SEC as a coordinator, you've kind of gotten some grist for the mill of Mike Bobo doubters again. So this will be a lot more interesting year, Paul.
Yeah, I checked in with somebody that knows Bobo today, and I said, what's up with this guy? Because I remembered when he had a good reputation, but, you know, working in South Carolina and obviously for Brian Harsin, did damage to that as well as the Colorado State head coaching experience. So what should Georgia fans expect from Mike Bobo?
Well, I wrote a column today, and I think there's a lot of people that are either remembering the early years of Bobo at Georgia and remembering that too much without accounting for how well the offense was rolling by the time he left. And then there's people also looking at the Auburn and South Carolina experiences. And, you know, look, Auburn in 2021 was a dumpster fire. South Carolina kind of was too, you know, in both, you know, that case, Muschamp got fired during the year and Bobo ended up actually being the interim coach. He did not have the talent on those two teams that he will have at Georgia. He also will have more talent now than he did at Georgia the first time around. Now there was talent there, but go back and look at the players and where they went to the NFL on those 2012, 13, 14 teams. You know, you've got your Chubbs and Michelle's and Gurley's, David Andrews starting center for the Patriots, but you know, not as many as are going to be on next year's offense. He also, except for 1 year at Georgia in 2011, never had a defense like you expect him to have to lean on at Georgia. That was one of the great failings, one of the reasons that Mark Richt was never able to close the deal, is he hardly ever had the offense and the defense really good at the same time. And for the last few years, it was basically the defense holding them back and Mike Bobo's offense doing well. So I think that's what Kirby Smart is banking on. And I also think that Kirby Smart is banking on that they're going to run the Todd Monken system. You know, Mike Bobo watched Todd Monken do it all this past year. And there's a, you know, I bet Todd Monken was consulted on the way out by Kirby Smart and probably told him, I think Mike Bobo contributed a lot this year as an analyst, and you should seriously consider him, if not be crazy not to hire him.
Speaking of Monken, was it inevitable that he was going back to the NFL? He'd been there before, and he seemed like his name was linked to a lot of jobs.
Yeah. And I think he only interviewed at two places. Tampa Bay, it just, with Brady leaving, Todd Bowles not on firm ground, next year they're up against it on the cap. I don't think Monken was that interested there. But I think he was interested in the Ravens. I mean, obviously he was very interested in them, but he's interested in them regardless of whether Lamar Jackson will be back there. John Harbaugh seemed to be much more stable there. The Ravens are just kind of a stable organization in general. And I think Todd Monken, like a lot of coaches that go NFL to college, they discover that they have a lot more on their plate in college. The recruiting and all other facets that come with it make it a real, like, 52-week job. Now, you get, you know, maybe a couple weeks total here and there, but the NFL, you got more off time, and you can just coach, basically. I mean, you have to do some draft evaluation, and more teams are bringing their coaches into the draft evaluation process, but you do have a whole scouting department. And personnel department. There's just a lot more on the plate for college coaches, and I think Todd Monken was ready to go back. I think he was happy to be at Georgia. I think it helped burnish his reputation again after, you know, a year at Cleveland in 2019, where he honestly, he wasn't even a play caller, but it didn't end well for him there. So he wasn't getting NFL offensive coordinator nibbles at that point, but he did it at Georgia. He won two rings, and I think he's happy to go back to the NFL, which is less of a grind.
Seth, before we change subjects, everyone's picking Georgia to win, understandably, with the success and the talent. But as somebody who's around that program every day and maybe sees things the rest of us don't, are we on the right track here? Should Georgia definitely be the pick to win it all?
I mean, I guess people are now in the mode of, let's not give Kirby Smart any reason to twist our words into we are doubting Georgia, you know, because they're preseason number three last year, and yet it turned into everyone was doubting us, and nobody picked us to make the playoffs, even though many, many people picked them to make the playoffs. You know, there's still going to be a lot of talent on this team, but, you know, when you're around the team every day, you do see the potential flaws. And so is Carson Beck, if he wins the starting quarterback job, is he a winner the same way that Stetson Bennett proved to be? They have to replace both starting tackles on the line. They're going to have, you know, defensive areas like key guys like Jalen Carter, obviously, Christopher Smith at safety. So there's questions, but that's like every NFL team. The thing that Georgia, again, has going for us, and this can segue into the next topic, is their schedule. In a lot of ways, not their own fault. I mean, they wanted to have Oklahoma on their schedule, and then Oklahoma joined the SEC, which led to the cancellation of the series. But also, they only go through the SEC East for the last year that the SEC East exists. So they do have a game at Tennessee. We'll see what Tennessee looks like. But you look at that schedule, Paul, and you say, yeah, you've got to favor Georgia.
Moving to the next schedule, you mentioned Oklahoma, and you've also written recently about Greg Sankey, his role in coalescing Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC as everything changes beginning in 2024. Let's go there next, Seth. What are your thoughts on what has transpired and the way it looks moving forward?
You know, when Texas and Oklahoma joined the league, and it broke during SEC media days, 2021, I didn't like it. I wrote a column about a month later after the forming of the alliance, basically saying, not really criticizing the SEC, but saying, some things. And the more that I've heard about it. And the more that then you see the Big Ten go get USC and UCLA, two programs that make no geographic sense to join the Big Ten. And you look at what Greg Sankey did with the SEC, and you say he added two teams that at least make geographic sense. They make the league better as a whole, probably. At least they don't hurt it. And you find out that basically Texas and Oklahoma, if they didn't go to the SEC, they were going to go somewhere. They were going to go to the Big Ten, maybe, ACC, maybe Pac-12. That then Sankey is part of this working group that helps form the 12-team playoff. And while the road has been bumpy to get there, obviously, it was basically, I think it was 4 years ago, they started working in secret on the working group. And then like 18 months later, they announced it. It just these fits and these starts. But it has worked out perfectly in the end. 2024, you're expanding your league. You're making it harder for everybody. Georgia, Alabama, Oklahoma and Texas, never mind. LSU, you're making it harder to win this league and get a playoff bid. But the same exact year, through a lot of what Greg Sankey did, you are expanding the playoff and you're increasing the margin for error. So a Georgia or an Alabama, a two-loss team, can get in there. And, you know, we're going to see that happen. I don't know who it'll be, but you're going to see two-loss, maybe even three-loss SEC teams make a playoff because the league is going to be so tough.
Great stuff, as always, from Seth Emerson on arrival of OU in Texas and, of course, the news from Athens today. Seth, be well. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks,
for
Paul.
Great stuff. I mean, one of the best. I mean, when you listen to him talk, you know this guy is deeply embedded into the culture and the thought process of college football. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls when we return.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back here on a Tuesday, Valentine's Day. Bubba is next up. Hey, Bubba.
Hey, Paul. I want to commend you on your interview with the Oklahoma Journalist. That was outstanding.
Thank you, Barry Trammell, yeah.
And on a serious note, I'm having the worst Valentine's Day of my life.
Why is that?
My wife got called to Mobile, Alabama. Her mom was released from the hospital to be with the family. She's dying. And as soon as she got home, she fell asleep, and she's been asleep for 3 days now. Hospice told them not to try to wake her up. Just let it go. So I'm asking for prayers for them. I bought my wife roses and had them sent down there, and I bought all my sister-in-laws that are down there roses. But it's not a good Valentine's Day.
Well, Bubba, certainly hate to hear that. We appreciate it. And I know many people will keep your family in their thoughts. Well, thanks for sharing your call with us and your thoughts. And we hopefully look forward to better days. Thank you so much. It's a tough way to spend a holiday like this. Dane is up next in Birmingham. Hello, Dane.
Uncle Paul, you doing all right?
I am. Thank you.
Man, I heard that long list of guest you have on today, but you didn't tell everybody that Dane the softball caller was calling in today. You know,
well,
softball
Dane,
started up.
You caught me by surprise. I wasn't expecting this. Usually you call post a disaster.
Well, you dodged me last year after the College World Series. You were at the beach, man. Other guys were doing the show, so. You've been dodging me. I'm glad
I've always talked to you after the fact, never before the fact. So let's have it. Let's get it out in the open here.
Well, Paul, I'm calling about the disaster of your boy Patrick Murphy dropping the season opener to Lehigh. I mean, what kind of clown show is this? I mean, projected fourth in the SEC this year, for fourth or fifth for probably the first time in years. Last year after the College World Series, all he had to do was smile and say, oh, well, we should be back next year. We've only got two seniors leaving. And then you got seven girls transfer. I mean, poor Montana, Paul. Poor Montana. I'm just wondering, when is he ever going to get serious about winning a national championship? Because it better be quick with Gasso coming to the SEC next year. We're talking about conference realignment. Bama has no chance with Oklahoma in the SEC.
Yeah, that is a problem. Oklahoma has dominated women's softball.
Well, Paul, she's serious. Patrick Murphy's not serious. He's Bobby Cox 2.0, and I know you defend him. He's your buddy. I need you to call him up and ask him when he's going to get serious, because, I mean, I know he won in 2012, but even a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then. But, yeah, I know you're going to get a lot of calls today.
Dan, I tell you what, have you talked to Greg Byrne about this?
No, I haven't. Not yet. But you send me his number, I'll give him a call.
Yeah, I'll text it to you right now. I'll text you the private line so you can get right through. I'm sure he would love to hear from you.
Good deal.
Okay.
Man, I know you're going to get a lot of calls about the Alabama-Auburn basketball game today. Auburn lost, whatever. I'm just trying to spice it up, a little softball action. I look forward to this season, and hopefully the Tide can do pretty well.
Thank you very much. Ken is up next in Alabama. Hello, Ken.
What's up, Paul? How you doing?
Ken, we are doing great. Thank you.
Man, I'm calling from a little part of town called Spring Creek, Alabama.
Yeah.
You ever heard of that?
I sure have.
Okay. I was calling about I haven't heard from Jerome in a minute.
We haven't heard from Jerome. It's more than a year now.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you might have banned him from there.
Nobody's banned. Jerome called, I would say sometime last winter. Remember, his wife called, and then he got on the phone, and then we gave him a hard time about Alabama losing to Georgia, and don't think we ever heard from him again.
Okay. Well, one more thing. What about old Daryl from Georgia?
We haven't heard from Daryl in a while.
Yeah, I figured he'd be calling since Georgia won the national championship.
You would think so.
Yeah, but one final question about the SEC.
Okay.
When they gonna put a stop on people coming in? And I'll let you go.
Well, thanks, Ken. I mean, I think right now they're pretty comfortable with 16. It took it takes a long time to digest programs. We went from 92 to what? 12, 20 years. Between additions, and now we have another one coming in. You mentioned Daryl. I see him on the line right now. Daryl?
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Well, you're supposed to call the ones you love on Valentine's Day, right?
You are, Daryl. We appreciate that.
Paul, I just called. I don't want the Bama fans out there worrying about being having all these concerns about Todd Monken going to the NFL. There's nothing's going to change. I mean, you had to know that Smart was going to hire Bobo, right? And Mike Bobo has proven, when he was at Georgia under Mark Richt, all the offense did was rewrite the record books. I mean, I think it's a great hire. I think he's keeping Bobo in as family. I think that's another. You know what? Kirby Smart said this one time. I said it to you. You said I was wrong. And then I heard Kirby Smart. The same words come out of Kirby Smart's mouth. Later on, he said, when you coach at a school that you graduated from, you tend to put just a little bit more into it. And I believe that. That's just common sense. You said I was wrong about that. Did Kirby's come out and said it? So I knew
yeah, Daryl,
I was right
but
about
if
it.
That is true, how do you explain Nick Saban with seven national championships at schools he did not go to?
Well, come on, Paul. Where did he graduate from?
He graduated from Kent State.
You're not going to win a national title at Kent State.
That's true.
I mean, you know, you got to, like I said, common sense has got to kick in somewhere along the line. I mean, you're not going to win it. No matter who goes to Kent State, you're not going to win a national title in football, okay?
Okay, well, I agree with you, but I just wanted to make sure we were clear. But that's a fair point.
Hey, you made a comment the other day about Barry Switzer, saying that Barry Switzer was against Oklahoma joining the SEC. I mean, I think that I can totally understand that, Paul. That totally makes perfect sense. Then how the last time, I mean, when Georgia and Oklahoma played, Georgia was down 17 at the half in the Rose Bowl, and we come back and Kirby Smart lay a whooping on them. They have not been the same since. People can say whatever they want. They have not been the same since. So I can see why Barry Switzer doesn't want Oklahoma coming to the SEC and having to play Georgia every year. Now, I want to get your comments on the realignment is going to be. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, Darrell, we got to run for a break because we're waiting to talk to a coach, but I will answer that question in a minute. There are a lot of thoughts out there, a lot of theories. We take a break. More to come. We'll talk to Nate Oates coming up here in a few minutes, the head coach at the University of Alabama, the number one team in the country.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back as we continue here. By now, you've all heard the news. It broke yesterday that the University of Alabama is number one in the country in basketball. Today, it came out that they're the number one seed projection-wise in the latest bracketology. All that's great, but there's still a lot to be worked out on the court. And Coach Nate Oates joins us. He's in Knoxville, where Alabama takes on top-ranked, highly regarded Tennessee, ranked number 10 this week. Coach Oates, thanks for making time. I know it's been a whirlwind lately. We appreciate it, and we hope you're well. Good afternoon.
Thanks for having me on, Paul. Great to be on.
Thank you very much. I've read some of your comments, and I don't want to harp on it. I'd rather talk about what's ahead, but While being number one can be a curse, it's still a great tribute, though, is it not, to what you and your staff and especially your players have accomplished at the University of Alabama?
No, it really is. I mean, obviously it doesn't mean anything in the middle of regular season, but it is good recognition for what the players have been able to do for, you know, the caliber of players we've been able to bring in. It's hard to get to number one without really good players. So, you know, they'll be able to tell their kids and whoever that they were number one in the country for however long we end up being number one. Hopefully it's a while, but yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really mean anything, but it is nice to get the recognition that your program's up to this level that we've gotten it up to.
And what a moment. You're on the road in one of the most difficult places in college basketball to play with the number one ranking hanging over you. Does it? Do you feel like it makes you a little more of a target to other teams, or were you already that considering what you've accomplished this year?
No, I don't. I mean, I think you see what happens when number one teams lose. There's court stormings and all that. So I think we're going to get everybody's best shot. But I've told our guys, I don't mind that. You know, we were number two before we lost at one point during the year. We've been top five for a good amount of the season here lately. You know, I like to get everybody's best shot. I think the goal is to be playing your best basketball in March. And if you've got to take everybody's best shot in January and February, I think it just makes you better come March. So I'm good with that. You know, our players have to understand it. I think for the most part they do now.
Talking to Coach Nate Oates in Knoxville, that game tomorrow night against Tennessee. Coach, just in terms of this season, and I realize we're now making the turn. We're halfway through February, heading to March. How would you describe to those who maybe are casual fans how this team has accomplished so much? A great record and undefeated so far in the SEC, which very few schools have ever been this deep into the season undefeated.
You know what? I mean, obviously we've got really good talent. You know, got four freshmen playing well. We brought some returners back. You know, Quinterly was SEC tournament MVP 2 years ago. He's come back off knee injuries. I mean, you can go down the list with all the talent we have, but I think they've really bought into being a defensive group. I mean, we're top 10 in the country in defense right now, close to top five to go along with the talent. You know, our, I think we're one of two teams in KenPom to be top 15 in both offense and defensive efficiency, but they've really bought into being a great defensive team, which then in turn kind of feeds our offense. We like to play fast, as you know, so more stops you get, the faster you're able to play, and then having the length on the floor to play defense helps us a lot this year, too. I mean, last year, you know, we were just a lot smaller. This year, we're able to, you know, our starting front court, 6'9", 6'10", 7 foot. You know, we're able to stay pretty big. You know, even when we go small, we say we go small and put Brandon Miller at the four, you know, because he's really like a 6'9", 2 guard. You're still 6'9", at the four spot. So it helps to have the length we've got. You know, the defense has been great. I also think guys have bought into being great teammates. Like a kid like Noah Pringle, who started a lot of games last year, hasn't started much this year. Freshman's come in and kind of started that four spot in Clowney, but Noah's been one of our best leaders. Talks in the huddles, talks in the locker room. Like, we've got really good chemistry and really good leadership on the team as well.
Coach Nate Oates with us. Coach, I realize at this point in the year, all kinds of things, you know, minor injuries, major injuries, but you did, one of your starters did suffer an injury in the Auburn game. Can you give us the state of your team's health as you get ready to take on Tennessee?
Yeah, Charles tweaked his knee a little bit. He finished the game. I don't even know when he did it, to be honest with you, but kind of complained it was hurting after. So we got it checked out. It's a very minor injury, but, you know, he's been limited in practice, and we're not quite sure if he'll be able to go tomorrow or not. I don't think if he can't go tomorrow, he won't be out long, but other than that, everybody's healthy. He's the only one that's even on the injury report right now. So we're fortunate to be as healthy as we are this late in the year. While other teams have suffered season-ending injuries, and, you know, we've had that in the past, like every year here. So that you need to get a little luck to get to number one, too, I think.
When Brandon Miller signed, I think everyone around college basketball knew this was going to be a special player, but it's happened quickly and really in a way that I think has left many in college basketball with their mouths open. Coach, talk about what he's done and what it's like to coach him.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously talented. Everybody sees that. But they also, you know, he also is one of the guys that really just wants to win. I mean, he's bought into some of the teams will guard him and face guard him and not let him catch the ball. He's bought into being a great screener. He's legitimately happy for his teammates when they have great games. You know, he's takes what the defense gives them. We went to Arkansas. He didn't have a field goal attempt, and then, you know, didn't really start pressing, just stayed with the flow of the game and ends up, you know, breaking out and kind of opening the game up late for us at their place. So, I mean, he's a special talent. He's shooting a ridiculous percentage from three, especially for a 6'9 guard. But it's all the other little stuff that's really helping us win. I mean, you can tell how talented he is. He's going to play in the NBA for a long time, but he's been a big part of us getting the number one, because when your best player buys into playing defense as hard as he does, rebounding, playing the right way, you know, it makes it a lot easier to coach a team that way.
Coach, you mentioned the Arkansas game. You went to Auburn the other day and won. You're now going to Knoxville, arguably the best team statistically wise that you've faced all year. Winning on the road is impossibly difficult in the SEC. What do you think is what would you point toward in this team's ability so far to be able to handle the road in the conference?
I mean, I think we've got some maturity about us. I think guys are not affected by the wrong things. I think they're playing the right way. And then, I mean, shoot, we got some guys that like going on the road and shutting some other teams' fans off. I mean, there's certain guys are built a different way. I mean, look at the way Brandon Miller plays on the road. I think he actually relishes going into an opposing team's gym and shutting them up a little bit. So, it's not easy to go on the road and do that, but we've got some guys that built a little bit different. They got great mindsets about them. And, shoot, we played in some of the toughest places in the country. I mean, we won at Houston. They were number one at the time and one of the best teams in the country. They're two now. You know, we won at Arkansas. That's a hard place to win. Won at Auburn. That's as tough an environment as you're going to see in the SEC. And now it'll be at Tennessee. I think it's a sellout down here tomorrow. So we played some tough road games, and I think we've done pretty well with ourselves.
Coach, I know you can't look ahead because you still have a pretty significant road and then the tournament and then obviously the SEC tournament. But how do you keep things in check right now? Because you know where you are. You're really just fighting for a seed now. How do you manage these next 3 to 4 weeks?
You know, I think it's one of those deals where we told them we want to be playing our best basketball come March. You know, we got to try to keep improving game to game. So I think it's one of those, you know, our goal wasn't to be number one, you know, in the middle of February. Our goal was to be the best team at the end of the year. So if we get satisfied with being number one in the middle of February, we're definitely not going to be number one come March, you know, end of the year, any of that. So I think our guys understand we got to keep getting better, because we've had some disappointing losses. We were playing pretty well and went on the road at Oklahoma and got drilled. I think our guys realized, like, we can't just show up and play well. That's not how it works. We got to prepare the right way. We got to practice hard. We got to be ready to play. So I think our guys have done well that way. You know, we talked about it a little bit. I talked to Coach Saban this morning. He's obviously had some experience being number one a few times. And, you know, I mean, it's really true. I mean, he said it doesn't mean anything to be number one in the middle of the year. So our overall goals were never to be ranked number one come February. We've got a lot bigger goals than that, and this is just a little bit of a bump. You know, and to guys, I told our guys, too, after practice today, how hard was it to get motivated for practice after we got drilled at Oklahoma? It wasn't that hard. You know, you could get motivated to practice hard and prepare to play. I mean, you see what happened the next game after that Oklahoma game. I mean, we drilled Vandy by 59. Like, it was easy to get up after a tough loss. It's a lot harder to get up after you've had some wins. So I said, you know, how mature are we going to be? Are we going to practice like we just got beat by 24 at Oklahoma? Or are we going to, you know, practice like we think we've got everything figured out? I thought we answered with a pretty good practice today. And I think, you know, I think we've got to have that mindset. It takes a more mature group to practice hard, even when you're having success. So a lot of times success is a lot harder to handle than failure is.
Coach, before you go, you mentioned Nick Saban, and it was not my intent to talk about him here, but since you talked about meeting with him, is that something that you do often? Or I know I've seen him at games, so I know he's a big fan. What can you tell us about Nick Saban and this basketball program?
I mean, Coach Saban's a big basketball fan. He doesn't get to come to too many games. I think, you know, he's kind of made the point if he actually physically shows up, he can't watch the game very much, has to take too many pictures and sign too many autographs. But, you know, he was able to make one earlier this year, and he's made some in the past. But he tells me he watches every game. He's a big basketball fan. He used to have the, you know, that he called it the Noontime Basketball League that he was the commissioner of. I think he was the commissioner, the coach, the point guard, the shooting guard. He talks about how he used to play every time. So he's a big fan. And, you know, I wouldn't say we talk super frequently, but I did want to get his opinion on how to handle being number one today. So he was gracious enough to, you know, give me some time this morning to talk through that a little bit. But, you know, he's great with our recruits. Whenever we have a recruit come in, he always meets with the recruits and kind of just talks about winning and what it takes to be special and, you know, what kind of how he coaches his guys. He's really good with the recruits. But, you know, I get to run into him on all the fundraising events we go to as well. But, yeah, I don't try to bother him too much. But when I need to go to Ole Miss, he's been there for us since I've got here.
Yeah, I did notice you sitting there idly at that one in May when all the news was broken about NIL. You handled that one well.
Yeah, I did. My comments on those questions weren't put all over. I think, yeah, that was an interesting night. Yeah, we'll leave that one alone. He had some valid points, but I'm gonna leave that one alone.
That, of all the things you've done this year, Coach, that might be the smartest. Well, listen, I realize you're on the way to get settled in Knoxville. We'll all be watching tomorrow. We always appreciate you coming on. Be well, Coach.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on again, Paul.
Coach Nate Oates, always a pleasure. Talking about Coach Saban. And for those who didn't quite understand that, I think it was at May 17th last year at that event in Birmingham that Nick Saban went after Jimbo Fisher that set the entire college football world on its ear. Nate Oates was sitting right next to Coach Saban, hoping that the question didn't turn to him, and it never did. We'll take a break. More to come, more of your phone calls right after this.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Certainly enjoyed the conversation with Coach Oates as we continue here on Tuesday. How about David in Louisiana? Hello, David.
Hello, Paul. I need your help figuring something out.
Please.
Regarding Dustin in Tulsa. He calls quite often, and he's in the Central Time Zone.
Yeah.
I'm in the Central Time Zone. Your show comes on at 2 o'clock. He always says good morning. Do you know what's up with that?
I asked Jamari and Brams earlier today if they understood it because, you know, there's a famous country song from the 50s called something about moving on Tulsa time or something. But none of us could come up with why he says that unless maybe he's – He's secretly living in Hawaii, but just says he's calling from Tulsa.
That's what I figured, or he's found a black hole or a time warp that he's living in.
Based on some of his calls, I think that may be closer to the truth.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much. Great to hear from you. Mark is at Augusta. You're on the air. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I've called before a couple of times, and you were nice enough to get me on. And I'm the one that has the gold brick competition with my family.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
We picked the games. Yeah, we... I lost out by one. Tulane took care of that for me this year when they upset USC, so I was cussing a little bit. But I heard one of your callers called earlier about this wonderful gift that his wife had given him for Valentine's Day.
Right.
I think I can one-up it.
Go ahead.
For our 25th wedding anniversary, my beautiful wife gave me a call. I was at work, and she said, yeah, I'm a huge Beatles fan. I think I talked to you about that, too.
Right.
And she said, would you like to go on a trip to the UK to go to Liverpool? And I said, well, hell yes, I would. And she said, I've got something even better for you. She planned four nights in George Harrison's childhood home. We slept in George Harrison's childhood home for four nights in Liverpool, England.
Oh, my goodness.
That was... Yeah, pretty amazing. I laid in bed the first night, Paul, and I couldn't get to sleep because I kept thinking, in this very room that I was sleeping in, John, Paul, and George got together
that as
teenagers
is
and would play music. Oh, well, it was incredible.
While you were in the room, did you hear him humming My Sweet Lord?
No, I could not.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.